All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
How do you feel about getting in back in the big chair after a maintenance show?
I feel good. Let's get into it with the lead. Mm-hmm. Is Tyler Yaremchuk a locker room cancer for the Edmonton Oilers? More on that in today's edition of Oilers Nation every day. Welcome into the show live from the Sports Closet Studio. It's a Sherwood Ford Giant game day edition of the program, and I'm happy you all like that edition of the lead. That is actually one of the few editions of the lead that we dreamed up days ago. When I said I was missing the show on Wednesday, we were like, shit, that might be funny.
Yeah, and we played into it for 2 days straight.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good for us, actually, I will say. It kind of looks like I'm wearing a crown.
Who put that there?
I actually don't know. I didn't know it was there.
Kennedy.
I've seen this before.
All right, Sherwood Ford Giant game day edition of the show, and it's not just a game day for the Edmonton Oilers, Liam. It's a game day for my Toronto Blue Jays. Happy opening day to you and yours.
Yes, for those who celebrate. I don't. When do the Riverhawks play?
I don't know. Whatever. Anyways, yeah. Dackie's in. Wonder if Tyler supports the Jays. Yeah, I got my Jays cup. I got my Jays jersey. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. primed for a strong season. Bounce back season coming for our boy Vladdy, I think.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. I don't know a lot about... I actually am going to a baseball game this season.
Where are you going?
I'm going to LA. Anaheim. By the way, I need a few days off.
When are you going to Anaheim? This is the first time hearing of this. I thought we were friends. I thought we'd tell each other everything.
Going down in August for Anaheim, Seattle. I'm actually going for a rugby event in Anaheim. Actually, Compton. And then we're going to go to... My dad's a Mariners fan. So the Mariners conveniently play the LA Angels in Anaheim.
More on the rugby event. That, sorry, is in Compton.
I believe it's in Compton. It's where the LA Galaxy play, which is right next to Compton, like Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Just a quick in and out. No messing around there, I don't think.
Yeah, probably. I took the train once from downtown LA to Santa Monica. And you got
the day I went to Santa Monica.
But you gotta take the train through Compton.
Oh really?
Oh yeah. That is a sight. A lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot, two people who just came onto the train, and Amber and I were like standing there holding because there weren't seats. Two people just came on bleeding and they just stood there very, very politely, but they bled the whole and the blood going everywhere. And you're like, this is interesting.
Well, I went to Oakland once, and that was pretty intense. Went to a basketball game, basically got off the train, went to the arena, got on the train, left. Wouldn't recommend any further
I saw game three of the NBA Finals in Oakland, and it was
spooky. Though
I got a little too mouthy, got a little threatened a couple times, and got right out of there.
That's crazy. Yeah, no, all right, let's get into what you're all here for, and it is the Oilers talk, a Sherwood Ford Giant game day edition, brought to you by our friends out at Sherwood Ford the Giant. I got a close up look at BM's new Ford Bronco that they hooked him up with. The inside is like this two-tone, kind of gives you like camo vibes feel. It's fully loaded. They absolutely hooked up our boy Bag Milk, and they can hook you up as well. Check out their full inventory of new and used vehicles online at SherwoodFord.ca. It is a game day, but there is no Jay today on the program. He's getting a maintenance day himself, but we are going to be joined at 12:30 by our boy Cam Lewis. Not only do you know and love his work over at OilersNation.com, but he is also the lead writer at BlueJaysNation.com. So Coombsy is going to join us, and we're going to talk a little Oilers in a little bit. You're going to have to deal with a little bit of Blue Jays talk here today. So yeah, we'll do all of that. It's a fun sports day. It's a fun sports weekend, Liam. You got the Oilers playing tonight on a Thursday. You got opening day in Major League Baseball. You still have full NBA slates coming. You got March Madness coming up tonight as well. How's your bracket looking?
Pretty good. I'm doing really well in the real life pool.
Really?
I think I'm six.
I'm
doing really well.
I'm fact checking you.
I said Alabama would win, and I'm the only person in the bracket that picked Alabama. Everyone else just picked UConn because you guys spoke about UConn on the show so much.
Fair.
That everyone just picked UConn. But I have I mix it up. The Crimson Tide is where I went with mine. Also coming up really soon, which, you know, I've got a bit of investment in this, but it's the college hockey playoffs, the Frozen Four. Coming up. I don't think it's this weekend. I think it's the one after, but can't wait for that. Maybe it is this weekend.
I don't know. It is this weekend. Also, okay, did you guys talk about something on the Real Life podcast? Because I go to the Oilers Nation Real Life March Madness pool, and a bunch of people just changed their name to Tyler Yaremchuk.
You really? No, he actually didn't.
There are six people in the pool with the name Tyler Yaremchuk. Oh. I am the one down in 35th.
Oh, I'm ninth.
You're ninth. But all that matters when you look at these pools is what your max possible score still is.
Yeah.
That's the real determining factor.
My max score is 166. The highest I see is Captain Velton and Tyler Yaremchuk at 177.
It's not the real me.
People do that?
I don't know. It's very annoying. Rusty says it's funny. I do actually think it's kind of funny, but it's also kind of annoying. Anyways, I still have my full Final Four is still alive. Is yours?
This is a low. Yes, my full Final Four is still.
So I got UConn, Arizona, Houston, Creighton, and you know what else I did over with our friends at Betway before the tournament started? I put $20 on the exact final being Arizona, Houston.
Interesting.
And now that we're kind of in the Sweet 16, I know one game can screw it, and they still have a lot of good teams to beat. But that $20 into $650 is
that's not bad. I have a couple of Elite Eight teams missing.
But the full Final Four is still there.
Full Final Four.
That's all that matters.
Wisconsin. My Cinderella story was Drake. They got eliminated in round one. And they're out there, one of my final eight. And then also New Mexico. They got battered in round one. But whatever.
All right, let's talk about the Edmonton Oilers, Liam. That is what the people are here for. It is a massive four-point game tonight for the Oilers as they welcome the Los Angeles Kings to Rogers Place, their final meeting of the season. The last time these two teams met, and let's get into it a little bit with today's edition of the Game Notes. The last time these two teams met, the Kings quite frankly smothered the Oilers in that one.
I'll be totally honest. I forgot about this game.
I kind of did too until we started doing our prep today.
The moment that's standing out the more and more I remember it was Evan Bouchard. The mistake he made on, was it his name's not Lafreniere, is it?
Laferrier.
Laferrier's goal, where he like stepped in and just like the guys walked right past him. I don't remember who it was. But that's what kind of stands out for me. But this is looking like it's going to be round three, round one in the playoffs, you know? So I think these games are always intense. There's just a battle, round three, round one.
Yeah, they're going to meet in round one for the third straight year is what
you're
saying.
That took me a minute.
Yeah, that was confusing. I'm not going to lie. A little confusing.
I think people got it.
Yeah, I mean, I think they eventually did too. I think that's a good point. I look back at that last game, the Oilers power play kind of let them down, but like they didn't get a lot of anything going in that hockey game, man. Like I don't think that's one you would hang on the goalie or anything like that. It was just, again, they got smothered by that Kings team.
I don't remember.
You don't remember.
Do not remember.
Sure.
And I am so sorry.
Christopher Palmer.
I actually thought they were only playing three times this season. When I was doing the run through of the show, I was writing a description. Mm-hmm. I wrote, this is the third and final meeting for these two teams. Shit. And I thought I should probably check that.
Yeah.
It's not, it's the fourth and final meeting. But I remember when the Kings shut us out 4-0, that sucked. David Rittich, we made him look like he was that guy from many, many moons ago.
The game I'm talking about.
4-0.
Yes.
No, they met again. They lost. They beat them at Rogers Place.
Yeah, but I'm saying the most recent meeting was the 4-0 loss.
The 4-2 loss. 4-2
February 26th.
Oh, yeah.
4-0 February 10th.
There you go.
Ah, yeah, you're right. Okay, that's my bad. You know what? I'll wear that one. Oilers coming off a win in their last meeting against the Kings. That's got to give you a reason to be confident.
I remember the 4-0 game because I was so disappointed because they had just lost to Vegas as well. That was kind of like towards the 16-game streak had just ended, and it was brutal, but the Oilers just can't trail in this game, I think, is the thing. You don't want to just keep trying to battle back against the Kings because you play such a structured game that it can be difficult to break down if they're the one with, you know, the foot on the pedal a little bit. So I think that'll be what the Oilers need to do tonight. Get the first goal. Take a bit of a stranglehold on this one.
You know what I remember about that game?
Tell me, because maybe it's a different game.
Yeah. No, it's not. I remember there was a whistle with like 55 seconds left and I had to piss so bad. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to quickly run. There's like 55 seconds left. I'm going to run up and go take a leak. And while I was pissing, Zach Hyman scored.
Oh.
So let me know in the YouTube chat, should I piss again in the final minute of tonight's first period? And I'll let you know the results if it works again. But yeah, this is going to be the fourth and final meeting of the year between the Oilers and Kings. The Oilers won in a shootout. Shout out Derek Ryan back in December. Lost 4-0 on the 10th and then 1-4-2 on the 26th. And I think being on home ice obviously helps the Oilers in this matchup. Although it is worth pointing out, the Kings are below 500 straight up when they're at home. They are 21-15 straight up when they're on the road. They've actually been one of the NHL's better road teams this year, but they're going up against one of the NHL's best home teams.
Well, do you remember the start of the year?
Mm-hmm.
What'd they go 11 games in a row without a loss on the road?
Yeah, they were just something cooking. Like that, dude.
Did really, really well. So, yeah. Like, you can't just take away those 11 games. They still have a very good record, but that obviously plays.
That would be like saying, hey, you got to take out the Oilers' 16 game win streak from there. You don't want to do that.
But that's kind of what I'm getting at with just the way they play. Like, they're just so structured and it's very boring.
Mm-hmm.
They're the worst team to play in round one every year because it's not what Oilers hockey is all about. They're built to try and beat the Oilers, which they've failed to do in 2 years in a row now in the postseason, I might add. But you cannot undermine what they are. They've come off three big wins in a row. Minnesota 6-0, beat Tampa Bay in overtime, I believe it was, and then just went into Vancouver and won.
And played just a good classic
LA Kings game.
Like just beat them up, locked it down, didn't give them a sniff in the ozone. It was impressive.
They're pushing for the Oilers. This game is everything for both teams tonight. I think tonight has to be the game of the season for Edmonton.
Bold.
They have to play their best.
That's bold of you.
It shouldn't be.
Well, let's outline why maybe it is. Right now, you're 3 points up on the LA Kings for the second spot in the Pacific Division. You have a game in hand as well. 4 point swing. You lose this game in regulation. It's a 1 point gap. Yes, you still have that game in hand. I get it. But if you can win this one and you're 5 points clear of the Kings and they only have 10 games to go, let's do a little bit of math. It is our strong suit. People come here for the math.
Yeah.
Let's say you win, you're 5 points clear. The Kings only have 10 games remaining and the Kings go, they play really well. 8-2. They pick up 16 points. Mm. All you're going to need in that stretch, if you're the Oilers, to again, take the tiebreaker and take second place, is you're going to need 11 points. Right. 11 points in 11 games, which means you could have a record of 6-5 down the stretch and the Kings won't catch you. You can play more or less 500 hockey and still carry second place in the division. So this is massive tonight to just not quite fully secure yourself in that spot. But again, you're 95% of the way there.
to home ice advantage, which is crucial.
Another part of this too, which the others probably, they're just thinking about winning.
Mm-hmm.
But down the stretch, LA play Anaheim twice, Chicago once, and San Jose once.
Mm-hmm.
They have a much easier schedule. They also play. So here's their schedule after Edmonton. Calgary, not a playoff team. Jets, good. Seattle, not a playoff team. San Jose, Vancouver, Anaheim, Calgary, Anaheim. So, and then Minnesota, we'll say is good. So they play, I think that's 8 games.
Yep.
Of their next 11 that are very easy. The Oilers' easiest game is this Saturday. Oh, and they play San Jose one more time too, I suppose. But you got to make it count tonight. If you don't, you might be in trouble here.
For second in the division, absolutely. Yeah. And you mentioned that the teams they still got to play down the stretch. And like, again, you win tonight and the Kings play awesome hockey and go 8-2 in their final 10. You're going to have a game against the Ducks you should win. You're going to have 2 games against the Yotes. You should very easily win both of those, and a game against the Sharks.
Yeah.
If you win tonight, you could honestly probably hold on to second place just winning those 4 games.
And another thing too, not trying to cast doubt on everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But the Vegas Golden Knights are only a point behind LA as well. You put yourself in a lot of trouble.
And if you win tonight, that is a good point too, because then all of a sudden you still have a game against Vegas and you're maybe starting to get a little bit nervous about slipping down into a wild card spot. Hmm. So I we maybe don't need to have that conversation quite yet. Let's stick with the game notes theme of tonight. One thing that has been apparent is the Oilers love scoring at home. They've struggled to score on the road this season. And I do think that's something they need to work their way towards correcting a little bit. On home ice this year, just a hair above 4 goals per game. That is second in the NHL. Their goals per game drops down to 3.17 on the road, 12th in the NHL. They go from 2 at home to 12 in offense, just home to the road.
Well, I think a big layer of that is a power play. That power play at home is electric. On the road, they got a big goal the other night against Winnipeg, but has actually struggled quite. The difference is quite substantial, I believe.
It is. I'm just pulling up the numbers right now, but I know they did have, you know, a decent game against the Winnipeg Jets, but at home, their power play is 35%, Liam. That is best in the league. Mm. Tampa Bay, I think, is the only other team above 30. Their power play on the road, they are 15th in the NHL, 20.7.
Yeah.
Average on the road, dominant at home. So again, down the stretch, you obviously want to do some things and show you can be a better road team. But it again makes tonight so pivotal because you desperately need home ice advantage in round one. And you don't want to, dude, if you fall to be, I said I didn't want to have this conversation, now we're doing it. If you fall to be a wild card team and you somehow end up having to go play one of those central teams in the first round,
I don't want
to play Dallas or Colorado in round one. That's spooky as hell.
I think the Oilers can be any team in the West in a 7-game series. Don't get me wrong.
But yeah, me too.
But you want to make it as easy as possible to get to the finals. And Nashville is at the same level of points from, and they have more regulation wins. If the Oilers were to drop down there, they would be 8th in the Western Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Not ideal. And there's something else I wanted to bring up today too, but it's slipping my mind.
Someone did hop in and say Evander Kane is a Kings killer. I mean,
King killer.
Yeah, I mean, he had that big playoff series a couple of years ago. I think that's fair to point out as well. But Frank Cervalli had some interesting comments about Evander Kane on our show yesterday. Listen, you can be a Kane fan. You cannot be a Kane fan. We can talk about his future with the team, whether he has one, all that stuff. Doesn't matter. For right now, they need this guy to snap out of his slump bad. Very bad. You talk about being a better road team, having a bottom six or a third line that actually has someone pushing it and driving it, Mr. 9-1, that's huge. And he is on the longest goalless drought of his career. Tonight, playing a rival on home ice, I thought he looked a lot more engaged and a lot more effective against the Winnipeg Jets. Just missed on that breakaway with a couple shots on net. Having him rolling is massive, massive for this team.
Yeah. It takes him to the next level. I'm glad you brought up his game against Winnipeg because he played really well. You could tell he was out there trying to make a bit of a statement, I think, for himself and also to the coaching staff. A lot of shots, very physical. I was surprised to not see him get in a fight considering, you know, everyone else seems to get in a fight that night, but maybe the spot just didn't come for him. But he was just very effective offensively. And I didn't notice Ryan McLeod too much in that game, but it's interesting to see that, like, you add that element of speed to that third line and how much better it actually was for Kane, especially. So one other thing in that game too is he got booed every time he touched the puck.
Every time in Winnipeg. They hate him.
They hated him. And I would imagine that added a little bit of something to his game. This is another team, granted, on home ice. People are doubting him right now. I think he can show everyone up. I actually think he's played a little bit better than maybe he's giving credit for. Again, hit the crossbar against Colorado, which would have been a huge goal. End the streak. I think I would have been like maybe 13 games at that point.
Yeah.
Would have given you a 1-0 lead. Would have been great. Didn't happen. Set up Connor Brown for his first goal. He's had good moments. He just needs to score a goal.
Yep.
Clip that was. You're looking for some positivity on Kane Online. You can have that one.
Let's get to the Service Credit Union lineup report, Liam. The Service Big Share Contest is back and in full swing, and it's your chance to win $1 million just by saving money. You're probably thinking that's too easy. It can't be right. It is that easy, and I am right. Service Credit Union in the Big Share Contest. For every $500 you save, it gives you 5 entries into the Service Big Share Contest. Contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. Liam, I'm back from my maintenance day. I got to bring the energy.
You're just like Evander Kane.
Just like Evander Kane. Our pal Tony Barrar with the projected lineup for tonight. And it's staying the same? Back-to-back games with the same lineup? Even the D pairings are the same? Sam Carrick scratched again?
What'd you make of Nurse and CeCe back together the other night?
Oh, I hated it. I hated every second of it. I wanted to jab forks into my eyeball.
I actually thought Nurse played well. Made a couple of good plays. That one that stands out is getting stick in the lane when the guy basically had a backdoor tap in.
Yep.
That was a great play. Man, CeCe. Maybe it's just because we're also
dialed in. He didn't do one positive thing.
Maybe it's just because we're so focused on what he's doing. But boy, oh boy, he just doesn't look good. And I just think that like Frank came on the show yesterday and basically said that like, why are we calling it a maintenance day for Kane? It was a healthy scratch. Give Cody CeCe his maintenance game. Give like, if you, whatever game you lose next, CeCe come out the lineup. Unless he has a game of his life, then of course keep him in. But like, I just don't see how you can keep rotating this through. And you brought up the other day that the penalty kill thing, that can't be the reason. I get it, and it's a layer to it for sure, but it can't be like, well, we can't take him out because the penalty kill.
Because what if one of our other penalty killing defensemen takes a penalty and we're, yeah, no, it can't be. Can't be. He's hurting you too much at 5-on-5. T.O., all the media shits on Kane way more than anyone else on the team. Incorrect. We shit on Cody CeCe more than we shit on anyone else. Evan Bouchard takes a lot of crap. Darnell Nurse takes a lot of crap.
For Connor Brown.
We made a literal map for Connor Brown. The same thing for Ryan McLeod and Cody CeCe. We haven't made a map yet for Evander Kane. So
Stuart Skinner's taking a lot of shrapnel this season too.
Calvin Pickard has a 9.13 save percentage year, and half the fan base calls him an ECHL goalie. So Daryl Sutter says you aren't media. Maybe not mainstream media.
Well, we don't listen to mainstream media.
We don't listen to mainstream media, but we're media. Media shits on Kane a ton.
I just think
we aren't we're media.
What is this? This is a pass for the Oil Kings once, and actually a World Juniors.
I have a media pass for the Edmonton Oilers in my basement from the game I went to as media.
Whatever, I don't care what you
media.
Guys.
Yeah, okay. Come on, we're media. What do we mean? Media
knows.
How are we not media?
Whatever, you guys. Welcome to this media show. On YouTube.
On YouTube. What were we talking about?
The lines.
God, Cody I feel CC like whenever we have any CC. Sort of time apart, we just end up all loopy the next day. Oh, yeah. The lines. I would have put Sam Carrick back in today.
I wouldn't. I thought Derek Ryan played a really good game the other day. Didn't he draw a penalty right at the end?
Yeah, he did.
I think you've got to earn your opportunities. I think Derek Ryan played well. I wouldn't have taken Sam Carrick out to begin with. But to Derek Ryan's credit, he came in, did well. That line got a goal. Connor Brown, holy smokes.
Well, let's talk about our boy, goal. DB.
There was a funny tweet from Gregor, which people took and ran with it, of course. Called Connor Brown's being in, did you see this?
Oh, yeah.
Being in form, a new addition at the trade deadline. A new trade deadline.
I got what Gregor was saying.
I get it too, but like, you just avoid those words.
My least favorite thing is whenever a player comes back from injury and they're like, it's like a trade deadline ad. And it's like, no, it's like getting a player back from injury.
It's going to be the same when Holloway comes up. You know, he's playing well. It's like we just acquired him at the deadline.
Dylan Holloway is going to be like a trade deadline ad heading into the playoffs. Well, no.
No, he's not.
Played like 40 games this year.
But Connor Brown, I'm glad to see him score a nice goal like that. When you just get the puck and you just, there's no, like Connor Hellebuyck is the best goalie in the league. And as Tony said in the chat, Brown heater. I'm all aboard. I know I doubted him and said he'd get under 1.5.
Yeah.
I tried to be a bit too realistic with that one, considering he had won his first 54. I wasn't convinced the second would go in. I don't know. The sky's the limit for this guy.
Yeah.
It is actually really great. And I understand what Greg is saying, being like trade deadline edition, blah, blah, blah. If they can get anything out of him, more out of him the rest of the way, then it truly is a bit like a new addition. He's a totally different player.
Totally different player. Speaking of brown heaters, I'm finally over the stomach bug I went through over the weekend. So there's that as well. I thought that was awesome.
Jesus Christ. Did you have a banana?
I had a banana last night for dinner.
Jesus
Christ. I think Connor Brown's playing great. I love his celebration. You
know what I had yesterday?
What'd you have yesterday?
Shout out mom for this. She texted me a couple of weeks ago.
Your mom texted you a couple of weeks
ago. About an order I needed, and it finally came in. They were doing a fundraiser. Wilhauk beef jerky.
Ooh.
So I got myself a nice bag of Wilhauk yesterday and some pepperoni sticks.
Their pepperoni sticks are so damn good.
Just the original ones. They're delicious. But I introduced them to my girlfriend's dad. He likes beef jerky. I showed him the Wilhauk beef jerky. He's like, this is amazing. Like, usually I give him something. He has to have one, not to be rude and take too many away. Seconds, thirds, loved it.
I heard he said, listen, Liam, I never approved of you dating my daughter, but you're in, big guy.
Yeah, this was it. This was the approval I needed.
Yeah. All right, let's keep cruising along here with today's edition of the show. We're going to get to Coombsy in a little bit, but you know what I wanted to do before we get to our boy Cam? Is I wanted to jump. Usually, it's something we do way at the end of the show. But right. Jay's not here, and Coombsy's coming on, so I want to do the Betway Game Day Betting Challenge now. Is that okay?
Of course you do.
Is that okay?
You do what you want. You're the host.
What do you mean? Of course I do.
Well, we all know why you want to bring it up to the front, Tyler.
You know what else I want to bring up is the fact that right now with Betway, you can get a free bet up to $200 if your first bet loses. Create a new account, scan the QR code on the screen, and redeem your bonus. Place a bet, no minimum amount required. And if that bet loses, you'll get a refund up to $200. Oh. You can then use that money to bet on your favorite sports. This offer only available outside of Ontario. Scan the QR code, create account, and you could redeem. And just go ahead, redeem that bonus. Yeah. You maybe bet on the Blue Jays today. And then if they lose, bonus bet for the Oilers.
Who do they play?
Tampa Bay. They're at the Trop. Nothing says, good? I don't know.
No, Tampa.
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't think they're as good as they were last year. I'll put it that way. Let's get into it. Betway Game Day Betting Challenge brought to you by Betway 19+. Please play responsibly. I'm not in last anymore. Let's go.
An absolute climb for you to get out. And it's nice to see you finally get out of the last place and place a real bet. Oilers money line.
I don't think you can knock my strategy at all. I'm going to start.
Well, I mean,
slow and steady wins the race, but I am chasing
behind me by 12 units.
Yeah, sure. Slow and 13 steady if you actually
gets do you almost even money.
Whatever. I'm chasing a bit of the juice today. I'm going Oilers money line, Jays money line, and it pays out a very juicy +266. Liam, this one could really get me back into contention.
That, yep. For what?
Second. Just like really put me in second place.
Yeah, that would really solidify. Unless Jay hits Oilers money line, McDavid and Kempe power play point each. 11, so that's a foul.
I actually am a little nervous. That's a solid bet. 11 to 1 on that?
That is. I mean, I just went with a simple puck line tonight. I think if the Oilers are winning an empty net goal, it's going to be a tight game. So I went with that money line +155.
Wise Kyle says, Jay's bet is wild. Did you know the Toronto Blue Jays have the longest opening day winning streak in Major League Baseball?
4 years?
4 years in a row they've won on opening day. So.
Kind of crazy. There isn't.
And the Oilers have a one-game winning streak against the LA Kings. It's so true.
Well, if they win tonight, the Oilers win the season series.
Massive.
And they would have, so I think this is how it works. If they were tied on everything, it would be down to regulation wins against one another.
No, it's not head to head. It's regulation wins on the season.
Okay, then the other is quite comfortable in that category. 41 regulation. 33, actually. I don't know. What's RW and ROW?
Regulation wins, regulation overtime wins.
Oh.
And the tiebreaker.
33. Oh, LAF 32.
The tiebreaker, according to NHL.com, is the greater number of games won, excluding games won in OT or shootout. So it's the RW column is the tiebreaker.
Interesting. So another one tonight. One win between the two.
One win between the two.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, let's get out to the Star Mechanical guest line. Star Mechanical, Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. You can check them out online at starmechanical.ca. You can trust your local Star. They are your plumbing, heating, and HVAC service experts. And you can find out more online at starmechanical.ca. Shout out to my neighbor, Red, is he our favorite Star Mechanical employee? Yeah. He's in the top five.
I've only met one other one.
Really?
The gentleman we saw at the Riverhawks game last year.
Oh, yeah. We did meet that guy. Yeah, I remember his name. I know a lot of Star Mechanical employees. I don't want to sit here and, you know, bore everyone by rattling them off. But anyway, shout out to Star Mechanical. Shout out to Cam Lewis from Blue Jays Nation.
Welcome.
And Oilers Nation. Welcome to the program.
I was sitting here the whole time and nobody noticed me. I just blended right in.
Well, actually, the thing is, if we just zoomed the camera the way we usually do, Coomsie could have easily been sitting here the whole time. But I do like when we just make him appear out of thin air.
Really well executed. That was impressive. That was a good job, Aaron. Producer Aaron, masterclass.
Yeah, that was great. Coomsie, anyone who knows you personally knows you're a fan of a good, sick, twisted hypothetical, right?
Of course. My favorite. That's what I live for.
What would damage the Oilers season more, an injury to Connor McDavid or Stuart Skinner?
What about them getting into a fight in which they both get injured? Knock on wood, that doesn't happen. That's a fucked up thing to put into the universe. I really regret saying that out loud.
Uh-oh. We're going to talk a little Blue Jays in a bit, but let's start with the Oilers heading into a big game against the LA Kings. They're coming off a road trip that really wasn't good at all. They get smoked by the Leafs. They blow a 3-1 lead to the Senators. They almost blow a 3-1 lead in the third period again to the Winnipeg Jets. Do you have any concerns about the current state of the Oilers, or do you look at the big picture and go, they're fine?
With me?
Yeah.
I'm not concerned about the Oilers at all. I think they're just in sort of like, they didn't get the same boost that they did last year after the trade deadline with the Ekholm trade. And I think it's going to take them a bit more time to kind of just find their groove. Like that's a road trip through the Eastern Conference teams they're probably not going to face in the playoffs. I think if they come back home and lay an egg against the LA Kings, this is pretty reasonably a first round preview. If they come and do that, then I'll be a little bit more worried. But I think everyone's expectations are just really high because you had the huge winning streak earlier in the season. Last year after the deadline too, they finished the year, what was it, like 15-1-2 or something like that. So expectations are just super high, which I get it, but I think we've still yet to see the best from this team.
What do you make of that, Liam? Are you still concerned at all? Or
about the Edmonton Oilers?
Yeah.
No, because another thing too, they've been able to snap themselves back to reality. pretty often this season. Like they'll get into these weird games like they did against Ottawa, where it's like they allowed 3 power play goals on 4 attempts, and it looked like they had never played on the penalty kill before in their lives. And then you come out against LA, Skinner was great. Winnipeg. Skinner was great the first period. Penalty kill was pretty nails the entire way. They actually dominated Winnipeg on Tuesday?
They had some really good stretches.
That, for the back 40, I'll say they were easily the better team. And then that third period, a little bit of a blip. But they came out and won. Like they're a really good team. And I like what Coombs said. The expectations are just so high, and we expect such a high standard after what happened earlier in the year that I think sometimes we forget, like, hockey teams do lose games every now
and then.
Bad teams do win hockey games. We were once that bad team. And if you remember, Chicago Blackhawks, we had their number for many years.
They were like winning cup, but every year the Oilers would just sneak out like a 6-3 win against them.
Like, I'll never forget it was a shortened year. Didn't the Oilers end Chicago's like win streak? Like, weren't they something? Oh,
I know the streak you're talking about. I don't know if the Oilers.
I thought they ended it.
Ended it, but.
I can't remember. What year would that have been?
12-13, the lockout shortened season. They started the year with like points in 27 straight games.
Yeah, I'm sure the Oilers ended like it, or maybe took them to overtime or something.
It looks like so. Yeah, the game you're talking about, they beat the Hawks 6-5, and it was Mike Brown, Sam Gagner, Ryan Whitney, Sam Gagner again in the first period. Awesome. And that loss put Chicago at 21-2-3. Okay, second regulation loss of the season.
It was right up there. Then they must have just lost right before that, because I remember that being a headline coming into it.
Just quickly on the Oilers, again, I'm not worried at all about that little blip over the weekend. And like I mentioned earlier, I have an article up now at OilersNation.com. So since Chris Knobloch took over, they lead the NHL with a 723 points percentage. The gap between them and second place in the NHL in that span, it's Nashville at 690. So that's a gap of 0.033. To find another gap that big between two spots in the standings, you have to go all the way down to 25th and 26th place with the gap between the Penguins and the Senators.
Wow.
That's crazy. And even that one's only 0.34. So like the gap between the Oilers and basically the rest of the league is significant since Chris Knobloch took over. And that's really why I'm not all that concerned. You mentioned the bump at the deadline, Coombsy. I'm interested to get your thoughts on Adam Henrique and what you've thought of him early on. Because last year, the Oilers spent the assets, first round pick plus, and got Matthias Ekholm. And I still remember that first game against the Maple Leafs and being like, holy shit, this guy is really good. We haven't really had that, wow, Adam Henrique is so impactful moment. Do you think it's coming, or is this just the type of player he is, where the differences he makes just are more under the radar?
I think that's kind of what it is. I think the moves were sort of more raise the floor moves. It's adding a seventh defenseman in Troy Stetcher who can jump into the lineup so that Vinny D doesn't have to play every night no matter what. It's Sam Carrick who is the centerman on your fourth line when before that you've used, you know, Derek Ryan or Matthias Janmark in that spot. And it's like a fourth line center addition, or even with Henry, he's like half second line winger, half third line center. These kinds of additions aren't ones that are, they're not Matthias Ekholm who's going to come in and, you know, get everyone fired up and rah, rah, rah. We, you know, game changing additions, but they're raise the floor additions. Like the players they replace, the spots that they're filling, they've made the team better, though. It's not going to be every night you're like, wow, Adam Henrique's on the ice, like noticeable game changer. It's just like what I said in my first point, like, because Ekholm was such a big addition and like made such an impact, I think everybody was looking for that. And I don't think it's a home run grand slam trade deadline for Ken Holland. I think it's just okay. But the team's also probably good enough to get by with those additions, I think.
Yeah. Sometimes the teams that have just okay deadlines are the teams that end up going all the way.
Doug put in the chat there, Doug Waite, Ken Holland couldn't have done a worse job at the deadline. I just feel like
could have
done trade literally David and Drysdale away.
Time to move on.
Rebuild year.
I think that's harsh. Like, I don't know what else he was supposed to do. I thought Jason Gregor on the rundown today made a good point on Henrik after talking to him. The Ducks and Oilers play very different styles. Henrik was saying that the Ducks are very passive because obviously they're not very good.
Maybe they stink.
And the Oilers are just go, go, go. And it is a big adjustment. So we'll give him a bit of time. He has 2 goals. I think Gregor said if he was playing a full 82, he'd be on pace for 17. That's not bad. Actually, that's really good for a third line.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. You mentioned Troy Stetcher, the other deadline addition. And I mean, we're 20 days now removed from the NHL's trade deadline. He got in those couple of games when Vinny was hurt. And to me, he got better and better and better in each of his three games. And now we haven't seen him in a while. Are you surprised we haven't seen Stetcher again? And also, their D pairings are going to be the same tonight. They're sticking with CeCe and Nurse together. They did the long experiment of Nurse and Vinny. We had the little blip of Nurse Stetcher. What do you make of them continuing to run out Nurse and CeCe? Do you think they're just sitting there going, hey, what else do we got? Or would you maybe like to see Stetcher more?
Yeah, you'd think that'd be the spot where you'd kind of like to see him. Like the spot where it makes sense is you have the rotation, Kulak, Vinny D, and Stetcher on your third pair. It gives you a few different options. But it seems like the Nurse and the CeCe, that was what we always talked about. The second pairing, that's the spot they could upgrade. And it's kind of hard to sit here and say, oh yeah, like Troy Stetcher is a better defenseman than Cody CeCe. I don't think that's necessarily the case. But I mean, it would make sense for them to give him some more looks throughout the season in different spots. I know we don't love doing the lineup blender and trying different guys doing different things, but I really would like to see him play with Nurse because I think it might be a better fit. But then again, every time this happens, every single time that it's something other than Nurse and CeCe, as much as we complain about Nurse and CeCe, we look back and we're like, Nurse and CeCe is actually pretty decent compared to everything else. So I kind of understand why they're staying a little bit more rigid, but I would like to see them try some more looks. I don't know. I think Stetcher's a good player. Like I remember him back in the bubble playoffs with Vancouver. He really led the way, and there was a lot of talk about how, you know, Chris Tanev might move on and then Troy Stetcher would kind of fill into that spot as their leader on the blue line. And then the Canucks let him walk. It was kind of surprising. I think this is the kind of player where we're going to see when the games mean more, his game's going to be elevated. That's what he showed during that bubble playoffs with Vancouver, I thought.
Yeah. Liam, you want to see more Troy Stetcher?
Of course. Mm-hmm. I want to see what he's all about.
Would you have any interest in starting to go back to 11-7? We had someone throw us that earlier.
Someone did us. I can't remember who it was.
I don't know if I think 12-6, like you made those, as Cam put it really well, like those floor raising moves on in your forward group. Well, I want 12-6. I don't want to mess around with 11-7 anymore.
I think the idea of 11-7 too was that like you didn't have 12 forwards to play on a regular night.
Correct.
You know, like, so no, I'm good with the 11-7 approach. I think McDavid and Draisaitl play enough, to be honest, to be impactful. And I prefer them. Mm-hmm. I prefer the lines distributed with 12 forwards and 11.
Yeah.
I'm not bothered. Like, what's that seventh defenseman going to do? Play 5 minutes? Let Derek Ryan do that.
Yeah.
Let Derek Ryan come on the ice, take some draws, win them, and then skate to the bench. Right? Like that's basically it. He's more impactful than having a seventh defenseman do basically nothing.
Yeah, back in those games, it was like Philip Broberg playing 4.5 minutes was your seventh defenseman. It was basically 11-6.
Yeah, 100%. But I would try and find ways to get Stetcher back in. If you remember last time they played Anaheim was when they really shook up the D pairings. Mm-hmm. I think this was the first time we saw Vinny get elevated into the top four. So maybe we'll see Stetcher come in and Cody CeCe will get his maintenance day.
I think Chris Knobloch should just walk by CeCe and be like, you're walking with a bit of a limp today. We're going to sit you.
No, I'm not. Boom. Yes, you are.
Coombsy, the other reason we wanted you on today is because it's opening day in Major League Baseball. The Blue Jays, about an hour and 20 minutes away from beginning their season with a matchup at the Trop. It was a vibeless offseason for the Blue Jays, and this is about as vibeless of a way as you can start your year with a game at the Trop.
Yeah, a game at the Trop, and it's, I mean, I can't speak for the entire country, but I'm looking outside right now and it looks like the middle of December. Yeah. It doesn't really feel like today is opening day, but here we are. The one positive thing about playing Tampa in Tampa right off the hop is you only have to go to the Trop once more this year.
That is actually a great point as well. And we do a pod together, Blue Jays Nation Radio. Find it wherever you get your podcasts from. We do breakdowns after every single Blue Jays series throughout the year. And if you listen to that, you know I don't have high hopes coming into this year. Can you give me and the Blue Jays fans watching this show as well a reason to be optimistic about the 24 Blue Jays?
I think a lot went wrong for the team last year, especially offensively. Like a lot of things went right. Like they had virtually zero pitching injuries. Alek Manoah was kind of the one pumpkin on the staff, but you know, a lot went wrong offensively. A lot of guys had terrible seasons. Vladdy didn't have a good year. Alejandro Kirk, Dalton Barshow, George Springer. Like, it's a pretty long list, and you have to think that there's going to be regression there. Guys are going to bounce back and be better. And then, I mean, I think another thing, and this might just be me buying into a preseason narrative because this is sort of the one that's come out a lot, is the players, the way they talk, especially Bo Bichette, who's kind of become the team's leader. He's talking about how this is the first time for this group, the Bowen Vlad core, that came up in like 2019, 2020. This is the first time that they've kind of been viewed as more of an underdog. They've always been viewed as, oh, we're this team with, you know, the legacy players, right? Our dads are Hall of Famers. We're going to be Hall of Famers. This team's, no matter what, we're eventually going to be good. And I think that's kind of passed them by now because they haven't done anything. They're basically just, you know, the baseball version of the Toronto Maple Leafs at this point. And I think them going into a season with a lot to prove, Bowen Blatter 2 years away from free agency, if they're going to ink those big contracts, they have to do something. And I think they're coming into it with a completely different mind this year. They're coming into it with more of a veteran's approach. And I mean, I don't think it looks good if you're Bowen Blatter and you have another bad year and the Blue Jays decide, you know what, let's retool this thing. We're not going to sign these guys. It's really different for your legacy if you're one of those two players and you couldn't get it done on your first team. You never got out of the first round and they decided, hey, let's rebuild. So I think the pressure is really high on those two guys. And I think that's kind of what's got me feeling decent about this season.
Ari Dickey still sticking around in a rotation.
Shut up.
Yeah, no 2013 talk.
No Ryan Goins.
No.
He's.
Do they have a utility guy like that? Is Kevin Biggio still on the team?
David Schneider would probably fit that role.
Schneider.
Oh, I see.
Kiner Falefa, their big offseason signing, who was said to have signed the best contract for a player from a player's perspective. Like the best work done by an agent this winter was this guy signing with the Jays.
Who was that?
Isaiah Kiner Falefa.
What's his name?
Isaiah.
Yeah, that's normal.
Kiner-Falefa.
Falefa.
Kiner-Falefa.
Kiner-Falefa.
Wow, what a name.
He's comes from the New York Yankees, and he had a .242 batting average and a .646 OPS last season. 6 home runs, 37 RBI. And that was their big player, position player acquisition.
Okay, one more baseball one before we let you go. And I know your answer won't be IKF to this one. The player you're most excited to watch this year in a Blue Jays uniform.
That's interesting. There's quite a few. I go back to the same point. I think Vladdy's going to have a huge year this year. I think he's kind of figured out. It's always been a story if you follow the Jays closely. Vladdy hits the ball really hard, but he hits it into the ground. And there's a guy at the Athletic, Eno Saris. He did a really good look into Vladdy's swing path over the past year or so. And the velocity is going down a bit, but the path is higher. So we're thinking higher launch angle, more bombs. We're hoping to see 2021 Vladdy this year. I have high hopes.
My pick is Dalton Varsho. I think him coming out and reaching his potential or somewhat close to what we'd hoped when he came over from Arizona. If he's that guy batting four hole with a little bit of everything, maybe a bit of protection for Vladdy could help him as well. I'm going with Dalton Varsho as my pick. Coomzy, appreciate you doing this, man.
No worries. Best wishes.
There you go. Cam Lewis on the Star Mechanical guest line. Edmonton's number one plumbing and heating company. You can check them out online at starmechanical.ca. Look at that good looking group of plumbers, heaters, and HVAC servicers, Liam. We are desperately trying behind the scenes to get the studio back and ready for, as Rob puts in the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat, more hockey talk. More hockey talk. All right, we will get right into it in the hockey talk. What's up?
I have one more piece of non-hockey talk news.
Okay, never mind.
But it's very, very good news, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
I want to make sure I say this correctly. Humboldt Broncos bushcraft survivor Jacob Wasserman has qualified for the 2024 Paris Paralympics on the rowing team.
That's really cool.
So pretty great stuff. There's an article over on Daily Faceoff about it. Stephen Ellis wrote it. So just great news. You know, obviously the anniversary of that tragedy is coming up pretty quick. And we're having our event at Greta for the Logan Hunter Memorial Fund and the BOA, of course, too. Just good to see these guys, after what happened to them, find some success in a different way of life, I guess. Yeah. Not the way planned, but they found positive out of it.
Totally. And just to quickly build off that, nationgear.ca as well, if you want to support. We're having our game day at Greta. It's a BOA that night, Saturday, 8 o'clock start. Doors at 7, and all the funds, your $20 ticket, that's all going in support of the Logan Hunter Memorial Fund. So you're going to have some free swag at the door. There's going to be prizes, food and beverage specials, all the usual stuff. And it's going to a great cause with the Logan Hunter Memorial Fund. So there you go, nationgear.ca. Maybe while you're at Nation Gear as well, you want to get a little geared up for the postseason. Tons of Oilers Nation swag up there as well. So check it out, nationgear.ca. Liam, the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat brought to you by charmdiamondcenters.com, where you can get a custom ring built and delivered in less than 4 weeks. Charm Diamond Center is home of the pro pose. People were saying no more hockey talk. Sure. That is fine. They want more hockey talk is what I...
We'll do our best.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
We're not traditional.
We can. A little bit of hate in there towards Cody Ceci. I get it. I'm just as frustrated with him as everyone else. I do want to see Stetcher, though. I'm kind of at that point where I think there's not much of an excuse anymore for not doing it.
No, I agree. I think you see how Nurse and CC maybe get back into the swing of things here. Give them a couple of games. Obviously, tonight being the second one, I think you can make a decision against Anaheim. Like, they have this rotation going with the forwards. I think it could be the same with the defensemen, too. And like, hey, maybe you give Vinny another night off, too. You know, he is still only a week away from that...
Finger injury.
Right? So maybe you give him another night off against Anaheim. I don't know.
Yeah. Sergeant Battle. This is not a hockey show, everyone. This is a Tyler and Liam talk about whatever they want show.
It is called Oilers Nation Every Day, which I think has quite a few variations of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's
also like
primary hockey.
When you do as many shows as we do, you're bound to get some baseball on opening day.
Yeah. This is like, what are you expecting here? Yeah. It's a long season.
Just wait till the Olympics kick off, folks. And we got to do three shows a week in the summer.
If you don't like this 10 minutes of baseball talk now, we're doing summer shows this year. Yeah. What the hell are we going to talk about? Yeah, we'll talk about the Riverhawks.
Riverhawks corner.
But yeah, like, come on.
We'll be fine.
Come on. We're also apparently extending our show for the playoffs.
Yes, we're going to go 90 minutes.
We're going to go 90 minutes.
And the reason we're going 90 minutes is because we've got a pretty good slate of guests coming up. I'm not going to tease them, but I will say Chris Osgood is not one of them. And hopefully 5 days a week, we'll have one or two guests a show and we'll do some good playoff content for everyone.
Yeah, that's our goal. 90 minute shows with one, hopefully two guests every show.
Yes.
If it's a game day, one of those guests might be Jay. We have a handful of former Oilers that'll be popping by. So we're loading up for the playoffs. Someone said Cassian. No.
Well, he's playing now.
And he's blacklisted.
Blacklisted.
Okay. Just quickly.
Yeah.
Aaron, more ads.
Oh yeah.
More ads. Sherwood Ford Power Sports and Marine or Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. Keys to victory for tonight, Liam. Sherwood Power Sports and Marine is now open in the exclusive spot in Sherwood Park for all things Yamaha, which include Yamaha boats, boat motors, dirt and street bikes, ATVs, side-by-sides, and motorcycles. What's your key to victory tonight, L-Dog?
My key to victory is the 5-on-5 battle.
Okay, Kings tell me more.
The best penalty kill in the NHL. I know the Oilers have a very good power play at 35%, you said at home, but you can't rely on that tonight. The New Oilers have got to come out, 5-on-5 team, and they've been very good at it. But tonight's a big one.
I like that. I like that a lot. For me, it's going to be make life as difficult as you can on Cam Talbot. He has won 4 straight starts for the LA Kings. He stopped 21-23 against the Canucks. He stopped 21-24 against the Lightning. He stopped 22-24 against the Hawks. He stopped all 28 again against the Hawks. He won back-to-back games against the Hawks. But what do you notice about all those? All those are in the 20s for shots against. The last time he lost a game was the last time he faced 30 shots in a hockey game. Make life difficult on Cam Talbot. He is having a good year. His numbers are solid. 242, 917. He's a good goalie.
He is a good goalie.
He also struggles when he has to work a lot. And that's both in terms of how many games he plays in a season, which I think is why it's a blessing in disguise for the LA Kings that he's gone out or that Rittich came in for a little bit and kind of held off. But Cam Talbot, when you throw lots of rubber his way, he loses those games. I'm looking at his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the 7 games where he faced 34 shots against or more on the year. He's 1-5-1 in those 7 games. Make life difficult on Cam Talbot. That is your key to victory.
Well, that's similar to what they did to Hellebuck a little bit, right?
Very much. He's
got
so
a lot of good shots on net.
Yep.
They were shooting from not anywhere. I don't want to say that. They were just throwing needless shots on goal, but like, they kind of saw a lane. They were taking it. Like Evander Kane had a couple of long distance shots. He's one that stands out to me. So let's get some pucks on. I've seen that throughout the season too. It's like when things aren't going well, there's no denying sometimes this team can try and do too much. to get the puck in the net. But when they really do simplify it and just have your blue line is just fire pucks on net and rebounds.
Yep.
Zach Hyman is, well, actually, I shouldn't say he's made a career out of it. His parents made a career out of it for him to get him this far. But he's done a really good job this season to back up all the money they've invested into him.
Let's keep cruising along. One thing that's going to be important for the Oilers, Liam, possession of the puck.
Yes.
This is a Kings team that sits back and they're comfortable little 1-3-1. There are times where they will not even send a forechecker into the offensive zone. They just sit back in their structure. Even after firing Todd McClellan, it's more of the same.
Well, did you see the sound of the oil I put in?
Sounds of the Oil, presented by Snow Valley Aerial Park and the Rainbow Valley Campground. Snow Valley Aerial Park's opening up May 31st. It's family fun all summer long. Leon Draisaitl, a serial puck possessor, says a little piece of him dies every time he has to dump the puck in against the 1-3-1. He said, quote, a little piece. Yeah, it's just unfortunate. It's quite sad. Who gave us that quote?
Mark Spector.
Attaboy, Speck. Thank Mark you, Speck. Happy opening day, Speck.
He is a big baseball guy.
He's a huge baseball guy. Yeah. I think he's a Cubbies fan.
Yeah, I'm with Leon on that one. Part of me dies having to watch the LA Kings, which I'm glad we will likely face them again in the first round because I think it's the best way for the others to get through to the second. Boy, oh boy, does it suck. But also you grind them down and those last couple of games are a bit more exciting because they're not an easy team is wrong, but like predictable team.
Leon Draisaitl on if a part of him dies every time he dumps it in against the Kings 1-3-1, quote, a little piece. Yeah, it's just unfortunate. It's quite sad. I like that little bit of personality from Leon, that dry German humor coming through.
Me too.
All right, let's wrap up the show with the menu for our friends at DoorDash. 25% off and zero delivery fees on your first order of $15 or more. All you need to do is download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code NATION25. Dash that for the win with DoorDash. Long weekend. Long weekend. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
So we're not doing a show tomorrow, by the way.
We do a home show.
I just told everyone we're not doing it. And you told me I'm not doing it.
I know.
I have a full slate of plans.
I know. Okay, fine.
They'll get pre-gaming on Saturday.
They'll get pre-gaming on Saturday. I just feel bad not giving the people content.
I don't. They get it's free. Sorry, folks. You're getting three summer shows a week this year.
Oh, God, I'm dreading that.
Doug asked in the chat, what are we going to talk about? It's a fantastic question.
The Riverhawks.
We'll literally probably talk about baseball, the Elks a little
bit. They're going to be like 30-minute shows.
Yeah, they're not going to be long. There'll be as much Oilers talk as we can.
Always a giant question.
Yeah, an interview on most of them.
Yeah, we'll make it good.
Yeah.
It'll be entertaining.
Tonight, your menu. New episode of Real Life going to drop in a couple of hours. So you got that to look forward to as content. Maybe save that for Friday. And then you'll have some fresh content Friday. That's an idea. Pre-gaming with Boardsy gets going at 6 o'clock this evening. I'll be around for the first 30 minutes of that one with Aaron. And then post-game tonight is AB and Coomzy.
Coomzy, little double dose of Coomzy today.
It's opening day for the guy who runs our Blue Jays site. And we made him hop on this show and do post-game for the Oilers. That's a lot for Coomzy, but he can handle it. He is the big man. Out of town on the NHL scoreboard, Vegas is in Winnipeg tonight. St. Louis takes on Calgary, Minnesota in San Jose. Why'd you put Minnesota, San Jose in the list of games I need to read?
Because they're in the battle.
They're cooked.
They are cooked. I don't know. I just threw it on there. No, the biggest game of the night outside of Edmonton, LA, Colorado, New York Rangers. Tonight too. That'll be really fun.
Potential. I'm not going to say it.
I already put it in the description. No problem.
Vegas versus Winnipeg. Obviously a big one because if the Oilers can win and Winnipeg can snap out of their losing streak and keep Vegas lower back again, you're just looking that much closer to locking up second place in the division. St. Louis taking on Calgary, looking to keep whatever slim playoff chances they have still alive. Can I give you a team that I think we may have counted out a little bit too early in the playoff race, Liam?
Oh, is it the Nashville Predators?
No. Oh. It's in the East. I think we may have counted out the New Jersey Devils too early.
Well, I think the goaltending that they have, that they changed, is...
It's working. Wait, Jake Allen's good.
No. No. I'm not having this at all.
Why?
Because the New York Jersey Devils, what are they called? The New Jersey Devils are 73 games played, 76 points. Mm-hmm. Washington have two games in hand and 81.
Yep.
You said there was no playoff race in the West. Absolutely not. The Devils suck. It's Red Wings, Capitals, off your own logic. Mm. Yo, I cannot believe you just said that.
Interesting.
Unbelievable. Go ahead.
Liam.
Who do they play?
Liam, open your eyes. Don't look at what mainstream media is putting in front of you. Do your own research. Dig into the story yourself.
Go on. Tell me the schedule. Who do they play?
They're 6 points back of the Philadelphia Flyers, Liam. They can take the Flyers third spot in the Metro.
They're 6 points back of the Flyers.
They play the Flyers again.
The Flyers are in my eyes.
Are they? Are they?
Go on, tell me the Flyers.
If you win that head-to-head matchup, boom, you're only 4 points back of the Flyers. Who else do they play? Sabres, Penguins, their next two games.
Mm-hmm.
If they win those and the Flyers even just drop one of their, and the Flyers drop one of their next two, ooh, it's getting close. And then they play the Rangers, tough team, tough game. Maybe you don't have to win that one.
All right.
Senators next. Ooh, look in your chops at that one. 3 year next four. Maybe the Flyers go 2-2. You're back in the mix. They play the Preds after that, but they're due to lose right away. Sure. Back to backs against the Maple Leafs, who they just beat on Tuesday, 6-3, drubbed them. Yeah. And then they end the season Flyers Islanders.
Okay, the Flyers remaining schedule. Montreal, Chicago, two bad teams. Islanders good. Buffalo suck. Columbus suck. Montreal suck. They play the Rangers, good team. Devils, like you said. Washington. So the Flyers have five easy games, which are very winnable. And then four games. So let's say they win two of them.
Nah.
All right, well, there you go. No, you cannot do this.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And maybe the Flyers are getting a new goalie.
Who? That guy from Russia.
Russian fella, Fedorov.
Isn't that the guy who like disappeared for a bit?
I honestly don't know a lot of.
There was a Flyers goalie that disappeared not that long ago. And everyone was just like, eh.
Isn't that Kirill Kaprizov? Do you remember when he just like.
Oh, yeah.
Struggling to get to North America.
Couldn't track him down for a bit. Boy. Something might be going on in Russia. People need to look into this a little bit.
something might be going
on. All right. Well, that's a wrap on a Sherwood-Ford Giant Game Day edition of the show. Oilers Flyer or Oilers Kings coming up at 7 o'clock tonight. Pre-gaming with Boardsy at 6 o'clock. Enjoy opening day, everybody. Hockey game tonight. No show tomorrow. So enjoy your long weekend. We'll chat with you on pre-gaming on Saturday.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.